are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, episode 4, Monday, December the 2nd, and a wild weekend of ups and downs in Pistons land. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA. For the Detroit News and Associated Press, Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. I always get compliments on the new show music, so give our buddy Ben Beware a follow on Twitter. That's Beware and the number 4, and tell him that you heard the podcast music and you love it on the Locked On Pistons podcast. He is a producer, rap producer, so check out his stuff. Otherwise, he is available for purchase, busting out beats all the time, and he does a great job. So get in touch with Ben and give him a follow, give him a little Locked On Pistons love. We really appreciate that. Today, we're going to run down the details from Sunday. We're going to skip mostly over Friday night's game. I don't want to talk about that one. Just listen to Friday's show again. Basically, just the same type of complaints that we had from Wednesday night's game against the Charlotte Hornets. I got three big thoughts from me today after Sunday's game. We're also going to talk about James Edwards III's article on Sunday night from The Athletic, the rebuild opus that he put out there. But give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at Matt underscore Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore for that. Also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons Dash. Matt Shook. November just ended. We're into December already. The third biggest month ever download-wise. November was. Thanksgiving eats into those possibilities of totals a little bit. The losing doesn't help as well, but good to have the podcast audience strong. You guys are excited about Pistons basketball, or excited about maybe my dulcet tones joining you here in your ear holes every day, as we do every weekday here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. And I appreciate you guys. Like I said, spread the word. Do your part. Download all the old episodes as well. Tell your friends and family this holiday season about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Throw some sponsors my way as well. Get in touch with me if you know a local business that might want to get in bed with the Locked On Pistons podcast. But the Pistons, speaking of getting in bed, got a win on Sunday. My brother was making fun of me for my segues, so I'm trying to do them a little bit better, and sometimes I kind of purposefully, as a joke, make them so bad. But sometimes those jokes don't land as well. 132-98 on Sunday, the matinee against the San Antonio Spurs, the best game the Pistons have played all season. Only one team, there was 9 games in the NBA on Sunday, only one team, the LA Clippers, who had 150 points against Washington late night, scored more points than the Pistons on Sunday, and only one team allowed less points than the Pistons did. So 96, that was Orlando, holding Golden State to 96. So the Pistons almost scored the most points in the NBA and almost allowed the least in the league, moving up to 7-13 on the season, a disaster of a start for this team. 11th place alone in the Eastern Conference right now, just a game and a half out of the playoffs, though. 8th-seeded Orlando, with that win over Golden State, moves to a game and a half ahead of Detroit. Charlotte and Washington in between the Magic and Pistons right now. The big player on Sunday night, no doubt about it, was Christian Wood, 28 points and 10 rebounds. Plenty more on him later in my three big things. 20 points for Luke Kennard, 10 for Blake Griffin, 13 for Svi Mykhailiuk and Bruce Brown, who added 7 rebounds, 9 points and 16 rebounds for Andre Drummond, 75 points off the bench for the Pistons, with 10 apiece from Derrick Rose, who had 10 assists, and also 10 points for Markieff Morris. 15 of 31 from three-point land for the Pistons, damn near 50%. Really good shooting. And Sekou Doumbouya had his first NBA points, dropped 4, 2-for-2 from the field in the final 2.5 minutes. Nice to see the 18-year-old get out there and score before he turns 19 later this month. But the Spurs, as we know, were without LaMarcus Aldridge. Things are looking very ugly in San Antonio, despite the fact that they did get the win against the Clippers on Friday. But 20 points for DeMar DeRozan amid trade rumors on Pistons Twitter anyway. Nobody else really did anything for the Spurs in this game. Was interested to see the young foundation that they have kind of going forward with Derek White and Bryn Forbes and DeJounte Murray. See what the young dudes look like, the future pieces, and ugh, all those guys were disappointing. In this one, Rudy Gay looks pretty washed right now. It's just ugly for Greg Popovich and the Spurs, not the way that he would probably want to be winding down his career as the coach of the era, you know, the best coach right now in NBA basketball, and you can't imagine that he's going to be coaching too much longer with the Spurs, but hard to watch, kind of, for Spurs and people who appreciate their team and brand of basketball. Nice to see Tim Duncan on the bench as an assistant coach with the new hairstyle. Looking good. I covered Tim Duncan in the Virgin Islands, the Tim Duncan saga at the end of his playing career and his retirement. Did a special section on that, and friends with a lot of the people that he's friends with, and got to know some of the people that he grew up with on St. Croix in the Virgin Islands. So I'm kind of a Tim Duncan slappy at the end of the day, and Becky Hammon as well. Good to see her on the bench with Greg Popovich and the Spurs, but all even better to see them get a loss to the Pistons on Sunday night. The Pistons continue this week on Tuesday. They're going to be at Cleveland, their first regular season meeting with John Beilein, the former Michigan coach. That's the next game. Wednesday will be the second half of a back-to-back at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. Not going to be having high hopes of winning that one. And then Friday, home for Indiana before a week from today, the Pistons on NBA TV on the road against New Orleans. So there is some chance for some wins over this next week. If you talk about the, quite possibly a 3-1 week coming up. I know we talked about the 5-game stretch, and we'll talk about that here after the break. But, a reason to be optimistic a little bit over these next few games and see if the Pistons can turn this season around in any meaningful way here in the month of December. But Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. If you're listening to podcasts, you should be into audiobooks as well. Give yourself... Actually, one of my good friends this weekend was talking about how he listens to audiobooks and will never read ever again. It's the best way to do it. You can do it as you're falling asleep and not have to put in the brain power that you would when you normally are reading books. So burn all your books and just get audiobooks. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA. And if you're listening to this on the go, you can't visit Audible right now. You can find this and all other offers from Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. Up next, I'm going to give you my three big things from Sunday heading into next week. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yes!
A little bit later on, we will talk about James Edwards III putting his neck out there and saying that it's rebuild time from the his article from the Athletic website that went up on Sunday night. Have some thoughts on that and the theme of rebuilding in general. But we know we got our three most important things that were taken away from Sunday's game against the San Antonio Spurs. We start with the least important things, and then we go more important as we count down. I guess 1, 2, and 3 count. Just say, yeah, whatever. You get it. But the third most important thing that we're taking away from this one is that despite that, we'll kind of combine the Friday and Sunday games together here and just talk about how this stretch of 5 games that we talked about going into last week has been a failure so far. The Pistons are 2-2 as 4 of those 5 games are now in the rearview mirror. 5 very winnable games. And even if they finish 3-2 by beating the Cavs on Tuesday, 3-2 in this stretch is a complete failure. 4-1, it would have been a minor failure. This was a chance to go on a 5-game winning streak on a team that is already in a hole and needs good stretches like this to get out of that hole. So this is a failure right now, and no way around it. And, of course, the Charlotte sweep of the season series to the Charlotte Hornets will be something that will be maybe in the second, third, or fourth sentence of the obituary of this season. And a larger theme of not taking care of games that you should and be able to take care of. The Pistons right now are 2-7 against bad teams, and I'm including the Atlanta Hawks and Chicago Bulls in that group. Just wins over the New York Knicks and Atlanta Hawks, but losses to the Hawks, 2 to the Bulls, Washington, 3 to Charlotte. Just an unbelievable stretch of failures by the Pistons in those games, those important ones, and that's something we talked about last year. This was a team that really took care of business against the dregs of the NBA, those 4 teams that were so much worse than everyone else. I think they just lost one of the games to Cleveland, the very last one. This year they are not taking care of business against crap teams, and that will be the undoing of this season as it rolls on. The next most important thing, Sekou Doumbouya. I'm going to pat myself on the back a little bit here. As far as the draft prognosis, going into the 2019 draft, I just thought it was a really bad one. Obviously, you had Zion and Ja Morant at the very top. But other than that, there just wasn't a lot to get excited about. And that probably more than anything else, was the reason that I endorsed taking Sekou Doumbouya at 15. I really didn't think he'd be available at 15, but he slid, and the Pistons took a swing on a high upside guy that could certainly still turn into a big bust. He hasn't accomplished anything of any substance and is a professional basketball player in the NBA or even the G League yet, but things are looking good for him in the early returns. The 4 points he had on Sunday night, again, don't mean a whole lot there in the grand scheme of things, but nice to see him get out there. Nice to see him get a bucket. It was fun to see him get a bucket as an 18-year-old, as we know on December 23rd that he will turn 19. So nice to see something close to a teenager get out there and get his first basket. And I tweeted this, got a lot of likes and retweets from it. So I'll point it out that ironically, Sekou Doumbouya scored his first bucket on the anniversary of Isaiah Thomas beating out Bob Lanier for the Pistons' all-time scoring lead. And just really ironic because we all know that someday Sekou is going to take over that record himself. A little bit tongue-in-cheek there, of course. But we have high hopes for Sekou Doumbouya here in Pistons land. A lot tongue-in-cheek. But fun to see him get out there and one for his first hoop, although he misses the free throw and then scores another one a couple possessions after that. 4 points for him. And congrats to Sekou for getting in there, first of all. I mean, it was nice to see that Dwayne Casey and the Pistons were able to get him in there for 2.5 minutes. And garbage time was available, and Sekou made it happen in there as well. So congrats to young Sekou Doumbouya for getting back onto the NBA court, his second game as a pro, and getting that bucket, two buckets, for the Pistons on Sunday. But like I said, take the high upside guy in the draft. See what happens, develop him, flex those muscles. You have a nice asset going forward, and hopefully Sekou turns into maybe even a full-time Piston by the second half of the season or so, especially if this team goes into rebuild mode. It would be valuable for him to be around the team, to be around the practices, and to work with the player development staff. We know that a lot of them are going over to Grand Rapids and working with him as well. But it would be nice for him to be around Dwayne Casey as much as possible and his coaching staff too, which brings me to my most important takeaway of Sunday night's game. Christian Wood, of course, is the story of this one, 28 points and 10 rebounds. You knew that I'd bring up the home stats once again. The Christian Wood playing at home at Little Caesars Arena, he is a much better player. It is becoming obvious. I pointed this out in the preseason that I had a suspicion and a theory that this might be the case for him. It just seemed like one of those reserve players that is a lot more comfortable at Little Caesars Arena and he really hasn't played any really, really good games on the road yet. We brought up the counting stats last week of points and rebounds, 10 points compared to, and 7 rebounds a game at home compared to, I think it was 7-4 on the road. Obviously the 28-point, 10 rebound game will skew those numbers even more going forward. But, the Dwayne Casey's role in Christian Wood is something that I think is a real thing. I know that you guys spent all the time leading up to this talking about how Dwayne Casey needs to be playing Christian Wood more minutes. His points and rebounds and defensive numbers at times showed that he's much better player than Thonmaker, and he needs to be getting all of Thonmaker's minutes. But I just wanted to kind of point out that I believe that Dwayne Casey coaching him up and being tough on him at times, even publicly. You can imagine that every time Dwayne Casey says things publicly, you know he's saying those things probably even louder behind closed doors. And we know that Christian Wood is very talented. We know he has a lot of potential, but we also know that he bounced around the league. He's been on like 5 teams already and in 5 different organizations. Can't stick in the NBA when he gets on off of the G League and onto that NBA roster. And there's a reason for that. He's been a guy who's apparently had focus issues in the past, apparently had maturity issues in the past. And I just think that Dwayne Casey making Christian Wood earn his spot in this rotation, kind of work his way up from the bottom of the roster, is something that should be noted and something that should be celebrated in terms of whatever success Christian Wood has this season and even going forward. I just think that that's part of coaching, and it's a part of coaching that we look past sometimes when we talk. We watch games, we analyze the numbers, and we think about rotations and all that other kind of stuff that we do here as fans. We forget about the human element. We forget about the fact that player development, as I tweeted tonight as well, it's about more than just handing the most minutes to young guys, saying Svi's got to play a lot, Luke's got to play a lot, Bruce Brown's got to play a lot, Kyrie's got to play a lot. That's not what player development is, just getting those guys to play more. I think that the fact that a guy like Christian Wood goes in there and improves his defense and becomes a player who you can rely on in big situations is an important thing, and he trusts – Dwayne Casey obviously trusts Christian Wood a lot more right now. My point is you can't just let him have minutes on the floor just because he gets a lot of points and rebounds. I think I would imagine that some of the defensive lapses that we saw that Dwayne Casey has yelled on the court to Christian Wood about, you can imagine what the film sessions look like between those two at times, right? I can imagine it gets contentious, and you can't rip a guy in a film session the day before the game and then play him 20 minutes the next night just because that's the fans want to see. That's not how it works. So I think that I saw the post-game interview with Johnny Cane and Christian Wood talking about earning Dwayne Casey's trust. I just think the human element of Dwayne Casey's coaching is something that we look past sometimes. It's part of the importance of developing the culture that they talked about in Toronto Raptors land, and obviously we saw what that helped lead to with the championship last year. For some of the Dwayne Casey weaknesses that we know about, and certainly we talk about, and I know you guys talk about quite a bit too, I think that managing young players, managing the things that they need to get better on, managing the minutes, managing the relationships that they have with their teammates, managing a locker room in terms of Thon Maker, being more of a veteran guy, being a guy who gets the first crack at minutes in the season. And I think you see from Dwayne Casey's obviously very loving relationship that he has with DeMar DeRozan, with Kyle Lowry from their time together in Toronto, I think we kind of see the fruits of that leadership, that coaching, the relationships he has, and I think that that's a strong thing that Dwayne Casey has that maybe some other coaches don't have. A huge contrast in my work life that I have when I go see, you know, Matt Patricia and the Lions on Mondays, on the podium on Wednesdays, and all that good stuff that he does. There's just a clear difference between Dwayne Casey and Matt Patricia. I happen to, you know Dwayne Casey a little bit from interviewing him a couple times and also being in scrums and games and practices and everything, and he's an extremely, exceedingly likable guy. You can see why people just like him on a day-to-day basis, but you just kind of get the feeling that he has deep relationships with players, people like DeMar DeRozan, who has had emotional issues that he's talked about, depression, and those mental kind of things that he's dealt with at times, even as a professional basketball player. And I think that the fact that Dwayne Casey's a little bit of a father figure for maybe some of these guys, he came up like them. He's a black coach that's in a league of predominantly black players. I think that's a valuable thing that's working in his favor as well. And I think that just it's starting to show in things like Christian Wood that they're developing a young guy. And not only is it important for this year's team, but when Christian Wood is weighing his options this coming summer, maybe some teams want to take a chance at him and throw some money at him. Maybe he's more inclined to stick around here and play for Dwayne Casey, maybe even take a reasonable contract to stay with the Detroit Pistons. And I think that's something that Dwayne Casey brings to this organization that maybe they haven't had so much in coaches that people really, really want to play for in the NBA. But up next, speaking of guys that people really want to read, that's James Edwards III of The Athletic. We're going to talk about his article, 20 Thoughts as the Pistons have finished their 20 games here in the NBA season. That's next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. All right, let's talk about a rebuild. James Edwards III, one of our favorites there at The Athletic, friend of mine as well, had an article, a column basically, that came out on Sunday night and theathletic.com, which you should definitely subscribe to. Great insight and great jobs for journalists, which is something I really appreciate this day and age. But James says, after 10 years of the same, it might be time for the Pistons to try something different. And I think he's one of the only of the daily beat writers. Obviously, Keith Langlois, who works for Pistons.com, is not going to write, you know, scathing opinion columns or anything like that. But I haven't heard, you know, Vince or Rod Beard, who occasionally write analysis pieces in addition to their unbiased journalism, hardcore type of day-in and day-out coverage. But I haven't seen Vince or Rod write about the fact that the Pistons should go for a rebuild. And this is, you know, James making a stand. It's a tough thing to do when you got to face the music and face these guys every single day that suggests that you would trade a Blake Griffin, who obviously James has a professional relationship with, Andre Drummond, suggesting that maybe they should look into trading him as well. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage for a guy like James to be able to do that. So, first of all, he should be commended for those kind of things. But, you know, this is not a very scathing or negative article or something that should be perceived in any kind of way. And really, if we're being honest, you know, they've been talking about rebuilding and tearing this thing down, and a lot of you guys use the tank word. I'm not a tanker myself, but certainly a rebuild. And if you listen to the show, you know that I'm into a rebuild as well. I think that that's something that the Pistons should do. They've been talking about it. Give them the credit on 97.1. They've been talking about it forever. And if I'm being honest, if you caught me in an honest moment, even last year when they were trying to surge to make the playoffs, and it's not something we went on and on about last year, but I probably would have said last year that they needed to be rebuilding and that this is a little bit of a fool's gold errand to even to make the Blake Griffin trade and to do the direction that they did. Now, it's worked out pretty well for the Pistons in terms of Blake Griffin's time with Detroit, a really good season last year in his first full one in Detroit. But obviously we've seen the injuries kind of swallow him whole so far this season, and we don't know what the rest of this contract is going to look like. As James kind of points out in his article, important to note that just because you're kind of signaling rebuild, it may not come to fruition this season or necessarily at this trade deadline. Trade deadline opens up on December 15th. You can make trades before that, but it's kind of the unofficial opening of trade season because players who just signed with their teams this offseason can now be traded starting on December 15th. So it's kind of from then till the trade deadline in February is kind of trade season in the NBA in terms of during season trades. So I think that they should aggressively be trying to trade the expiring contracts that they have if they can get some assets for them. Langston Galloway is obviously proving himself to be a very useful player that could help out a good team. Hope his trade value continues to be okay and he continues to shoot the crap out of the ball so far like he has early this season so we can get something for him. Reggie Jackson is another guy you would put into that boat as well as an expiring contract. Even Markieff Morris, who I believe has a player option for next year, is a guy who a contender might look at as somebody who could be helpful to them. But even a step further from that, I would be thinking about a guy like Derrick Rose, who has another year left on his deal next year, but obviously someone who could help out a team off the bench. He plays his role very well most nights so far for the Pistons. He has some rough clankers as well, like he did at times on Sunday, and especially against Charlotte, those clutch situations that he hasn't handled very well so far for the Pistons. But Derrick Rose is a guy who undoubtedly, with a reasonable contract, would have some value to some good teams out there that want to get ready for the playoff push, whether that be in the Western Conference or even in the East as well. Blake Griffin, you know, we don't know what kind of market there is going to be for him. I think that is probably the most important thing for the Pistons season and the Pistons future is that he maintains some level of health so that there might be some trade value for him, whether that's at the trade deadline or in the offseason. As guys have noted, you know, it's not necessarily easy to trade huge salary players like Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond during the season at the deadline. Those can kind of be when teams have some cap space available, when teams can make some moves to make some plans to fit certain salary structures into their teams, that might be the time that those trades might be made. So, but we've heard the talk about Portland. We've heard the talk about the Miami Heat. Some other teams out there have been whispered for Blake Griffin as well. So the Pistons, I believe, should be looking to make a deal like that. If you can get young pieces, draft picks, a nice little return for Blake Griffin. Everyone talks about how the contract, and it is a negative mark in his favor, how much Blake gets paid. But he is a guy who can be a top 20, top 25 NBA player when he's healthy. And those guys do have value out there. It's not just a cold-hearted numbers per millions of dollars that they make kind of thing. I believe that when you get to a certain level, and I think Blake Griffin is at that level, you get a little bit of value added to you yourself as a player who can help teams get over the top, who can help teams. He can become the second good best player on a championship-level team, possibly even a third best player on a very, very, very good team. So, you know, there's a way for Blake Griffin to get traded and to help out a team immensely going forward. Andre Drummond is obviously a tough situation. We've talked plenty about him, and we'll go forward. I was thinking about it today, though, and what do I think will be the end result of this Andre Drummond season? I have a bold take on that. My bold prediction for Andre Drummond is that he will return to the Pistons next season by picking up his player option. Obviously, he intimated that he would like to be a free agent this year, all but pretty much saying that he's going to opt out of his player option for next year. But I just think that in the lead up to that decision that will be made right before the July 1st free agency period opens up, obviously him and his agent are going to put out feelers across the league. We know that there's no such thing as tampering. You can do whatever you want. So I think Andre Drummond's going to look at the landscape out there. He's going to find that there's not a lot of nine-figure offers out there, probably no nine-figure offers. Or maybe there will be some. You know, there are a couple teams with cap room. I believe that the Pistons would probably only be offering a low-ball type of deal since they didn't get a deal done before the season started. It leads me to believe that this team is kind of taking a wait-and-see approach on Andre Drummond, which I agree with and I think is just fine, and that he'll look at the offers and the possible options out there and rethink that $28 million player option that he has, pick that up and realize that maybe going into the summer of 2021 as a free agent, when more teams have cap space, he could be the fallback option for some of those teams and still score himself a pretty good free agent contract out there. Maybe even the Pistons come around at some point and they can get together. But so that's my prediction. My take is that Andre Drummond will come back next year on a player option, despite what he said this past offseason. But that'll do it for here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. Hope you guys have a great start to the week. We'll be with you every day this week, talking some Cleveland Cavaliers tomorrow and some other fun stuff that we got planned out as the December calendar rolls on, almost the holiday season, almost the end of the holiday season, or the continuation, I guess, of the holiday season. So excited to talk hoops with you guys throughout December as well. But this is your host, Matt Shook, of the Locked On Pistons podcast, saying thanks for listening. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.